Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Well, thank you, Marshall, and welcome to Off Script. Summer is fast approaching, and with it, loads of summer theater in Connecticut, Hudson Valley, and the Berkshires. With me today are two guests from both from the Sharon Playhouse, ready to talk about its summer season. With me is Alan Wager, Artistic Director of the Playhouse, and Sarah Combs, Board Member and de facto Resident Director, whose directing credits at the Playhouse have included Footloose, Annie Get Your Gun, Aida, High School Musical, Hairspray, and All Shook Up. And this year she kicks off the season with directing Crazy for You, which sounds like a good place to start. So welcome, Sarah, and welcome, Alan.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Okay, we're going to talk about the whole season and everything you guys have in store, but let's talk about Crazy for You because I think you're leading with your strong suit looking at the summer season. It's a big Tony winner, and it's got great Gershwin music that everybody knows. So tell us all about it.
Well, I love Crazy for You. It's one of my absolutely favorite shows. Number one, for what you just said, the George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin lyrics, George Gershwin music, are so memorable, and I think audiences will recognize almost every single song in the score. Not only that, I think it's the epitome of classic and wonderful musical theater comedy. It's funny, it's romantic, the dancing is spectacular, and of course the score.
So, Alan, yeah. Are those all the reasons why you chose it, or can you add some more?
I could probably add some more. Me?
Please.
Add more? Shocking. Based on the overwhelming response we had last year to Anything Goes, which is very similar in style and feel of classic songs that everybody's heard, this was at the top of our list. Absolutely. To start off with a bang, this our second season, Robert Levenstein and mine, to give the audiences something that they loved last year, why not do it again, but in a different way, in a fresh way, with a different show and a different feel, different composers. However, we are going to bring back some things. We're bringing back Amanda Lee Laverne, who was Reno Sweeney last year. She is going to be playing Polly Baker in this production of Crazy for You. She is brilliant. We are so pleased she's back. Also back, choreographer Justin Bakito. But more than that, from Anything Goes, he would choreograph that show brilliantly for us. He's also going to be starring opposite her as Bobby. So we're really excited about that. He's doing double duty over there at the theater.
And okay. He is an amazing tap dancer.
People
are just going to love him.
So, Sarah, you've directed a bunch of stuff going way back to the Tri-Arts days in Sharon Playhouse, which I want to ask you about. What's the biggest challenge in getting Crazy for You up on the stage in really, what, limited amount of time?
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks.
I think the biggest challenge is making sure that there's enough time for all three of the elements so that the choreographer has enough time, I have enough time for the scene work, and the musical director has. The schedule's going to be very tight, but
okay.
We're going to make it.
You're a song and dance director, right?
Yes.
So where does your job as vocal arranger end, and it goes to the orchestrator, and when does your job as choreographer end and it goes to the choreographer, or is it all a collaborative effort?
It's a collaborative effort, but everybody has their specialty. So I won't actually be choreographing. That will be Justin. I'll be directing the scenes and also directing the actors when in the lyric of the songs. The musical director is teaching them harmony and dynamics. But it really is collaborative.
Mm-hmm. And we are also so excited to have Eric Thomas Johnson back as musical director for this show. Audiences who saw our Patsy Cline last year saw him on stage as the musical director for that. So, again, we're bringing back what worked and what was the best. And, you know, it's very exciting.
Great. In case you've just joined us, the show is Off Script. And my guest today are Sarah Combs, who's going to be directing the first show on Sharon Playhouse's season this year, Crazy for You, and the artistic director in his second season at Sharon Playhouse, Alan Wager. It seems to me that Sharon Playhouse, at least in its second year, based on what you did last year, based on what you're trying to replicate in the feel of Crazy for You, what you achieved last year with Anything Goes, that it's found its footing. Let me be really naked in my criticism more than you will be, but Sharon Playhouse almost came to a grinding halt 3 years ago in an abysmal, and this is my opinion, an abysmal season of really, really unfortunate artistic direction and execution by a group of amateurs. How you seem to have focused now pretty much exclusively on musicals this season, and it seems to have a decided flavor, and I don't say this in a pejorative way, of good old-fashioned summer stock.
Right.
So can you comment about how you got there, and is this where you want to be?
This is exactly where we want to be, and more than that, from what Robert and I have learned over these almost 2 years, this is where these audiences want us to be. Last year, we sort of inherited a format which was perfectly good, musicals, a play, this and that, and which was wonderful. And that's why we chose a play, but we chose a lighter play. We chose a classic. We did Barefoot in the Park, which was very well received. Is the play dated? Sure. But was it a nice production and did people have a good time? Absolutely. Because that's what people want to see during the summer. They want to be entertained. There's a lot going on in the world, as we know. So during the summer, they want to work in their garden during the day, and they want to come and see something fun at night. So that's what we're expounding on and expanding on from last year to this year. We realized, maybe we don't need to do a play. We'll do that in our off season. As you know, we've extended our season to be year-round, doing a variety of different things.
So you've got just musicals. Let's name the other three major musical
productions. The other three are Disney's Beauty and the Beast. It has never been done here in Sharon, so we're very excited about that. I'm directing that one myself, I must say. And then after that, we have a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is always a crowd pleaser. We are really excited to do that. We are actually putting a different kind of spin on it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's not changing a word, not changing a lick of music, but we're adding some fun and interest to it. And what's really exciting about that show is it's anniversary season of when it was written. I want to say it's 50th
anniversary.
And another exciting thing, we have Sarah Combs here. Last time it was done at this theater, Sarah Combs was the narrator. And the fourth production is Nonsense, because nonsense is habit forming. That's the catch line. It's hilarious. And it's a smaller show in the sense that there's only five ladies in it, but it is a huge, and it will fill the stage like every show this season.
Good.
We're up in the game.
So let's get back to the historic evolution of Sharon Playhouse. Sarah, you got involved in TriArts a long time ago. When was that? When it was back in Pine Plains in the old Carvel factory, right?
I was actually one of the founding members of Tri-State Center for the Arts, which we then called Tri-Arts.
And when was that?
1990. 1989 is when we started
with
the idea.
That is almost 30 years ago.
Yes. And we started.
You're not old enough looking to have done that 30 years ago.
Thank you. We started in a tent. And it was like Mickey and Judy building a theater in the middle of a field. Mm-hmm. And we started with Annie, Get Your Gun. And then the following year we did Barnum in a tent with an elephant and a type, you know, circus atmosphere. And then we moved to the Thomas Carvel Theater. And we were there for 7 or 8 years, I think. And then the Sharon Playhouse was dark. And the board decided to move back over here.
Right.
So I have been involved since 1989.
So are you gratified to see it pretty much come now full circle if the season is being dedicated? It is now to an artistic program of musicals everybody knows and loves.
I am. I know that we faltered a few years ago, and I'm really happy with where Robert and Alan have brought the theater. I have such a emotional attachment to this organization. So I'm so happy that they've turned things around. I actually am also very excited about the programming that we are planning on offering in the off season as well.
Right. Let's talk about that later, but let's get back to the emotional the emotional basis for theater, for anybody who's involved in it, whether you're on Broadway, whether you're in a community theater, whether you're in a regional theater. You're carny folk, and I say that no, and I say that not in a derogatory way, you know. Whether it's something in you that has got to, there's got to be up there on stage. That's got to be involved in theater, and there's a passion there that's not always, seldom financially rewarded, sometimes really emotionally rewarded. But it's something you just got to do.
Right.
So this is a corny question I ask everybody who's a guest, regardless of their, of what they've accomplished or not. What was the first theater that you went to as a kid?
My father was an English professor at Western Michigan University, and he took me to very good theater department. Maren Mazey went there.
God bless her.
Used to take me, he used to take me as a very small kid to see the productions at Western. And then I started getting involved in the community theater. So that was my parents.
So do you remember the first play, being sitting there in a kid and watching somebody on stage enact something?
I believe it was the national tour of Pippin.
Good one.
That came through Miller Auditorium at Western.
Alan, yours.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm actually from Southern California, born and raised, third generation. And so I grew up
in... They know theater in Southern California.
They do. A little.
Still,
they do. They do. Yeah. It's coming back there. I'm from a city called Fullerton, which is just above Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is. They had a wonderful theater there starting in 1972 called the Fullerton Civic Light Opera. Everything was a Civic Light Opera back in the day. I eventually did shows there as I got older, but I remember vividly... I must have been 12 or 13. I started working there when I was 15. But 12 or 13, they did a production of The Music Man. And I was, it's a 1,200 seat theater at Plummer Auditorium. And I saw that train because they had some sort of replica. It was a civic theater, not a, quite a community, but not quite equity. And I remember that train coming out with that light and then it splitting open and all the salesmen are there. And vivid memory of that. And that's the first memory of sitting in a theater seeing a show.
I have a vivid memory of a Music Man done in Sharon Playhouse where, for the first time in history, Henry Hill appeared on the train without the newspaper in his face.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. But let's not diverge onto that. Back onto happier topics. Remember that one. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
It was a curious directorial choice, I think we could say. Anyway, getting back to musicals, for what it's worth, my first memory, because I think there is something not not just, you know, inconsequential about it being a musical. I grew up in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and I remember going some hot July afternoon down to the old Hyannis Melody Tent, which is at the Rotary at the end of Main Street in Hyannis, and it was a production of King and I. And this was about 1956 or 57. Yes, I am that old. Anyway, the next question. Having grown up in Michigan and being surrounded by theater, what was the first time you came to New York and saw a big Broadway show?
I went to New York City on a high school theater trip, and I was there for a week. And I remember it so vividly because the very first Broadway show that I ever saw was Chicago with Gwen Verdon and Chita Rivera.
Wow.
I also saw the original cast of A Chorus Line the day after they won all the Tony Awards. And then there were I saw The Wiz and I saw Equus with Richard Burton. So it was an
on the same trip.
All on the same trip.
But the
trip.
First Broadway was the was Chicago with Gwen Verdon and Chita Vera.
Did you
watch the series?
Yes, the series is wonderful.
It's fabulous.
Fosse Verdon.
Particularly that last scene where they're doing Isn't It Great, Isn't It One? What's that name of that number?
Nowadays.
Nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it was written, it
for
was supposed
her,
for
originally.
Her. And Fosse says, wait a minute, we're going to get more punch doing this a duet. Chita, resisted
right.
because she didn't want to offend her. And the son of a bitch, Fosse, was right. But it's an amazing scene in that.
Yeah. Don't you hate it when geniuses are right?
Yeah, I know. So what was your first Broadway
Okay. show, Alan? Being from Los Angeles, I came to New York in 1983 with my sister, who's 2 years older than I am, these two teenage bumpkins from, you know, L.A., Orange County. And we saw three shows. And we saw Debbie Reynolds in Woman of the Year, and then and then in the ensemble was a guy named Kirby Ward, who I had eventually then worked with many a time, and he's also a big Crazy for You person and a dear friend, and he and his wife Bev Ward performed at the Sharon Playhouse for Robert and I, so that was crazy. We saw the first act of O Calcutta. Because my sister now, you know, being the age she is now, she's like, what was I thinking? She was a bit offended. So we left the first act at the old Edison Theater. And that's what we saw. The next year I came with my other sister and my parents. We saw A Chorus Line. We also saw My One and Only. And that is the first time I ever saw a show where I had the album and everybody who was on the album was in the show.
Yeah.
You know, because national tours and this and that, they don't always come to LA. But man, that was real cool. I still have that record.
All right, as long as we're making this a three-way conversation, let me share with you mine, okay? The first time I went to Broadway, accompanied by parents, was Hello, Dolly! With Ethel Merman, which was fabulous because she came to it late in the run, right?
Yeah.
And the first time I went as an adult on my own was Company, and that was transformative. Anyway, we're meandering here, but we're having fun at it. The program is off script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer, and my guest today is Sarah Combs, who is going to be directing Crazy for You, the first feature in a four musical season plus more at the Sharon Playhouse. And she's joined by Alan Wagger, who is in his second season, the artistic director of Sharon Playhouse. So we're talking about how going to theater early was such a, you know, transformative experience and really sort of lights the fire early on. Besides Crazy for You and Nonsense and Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat and Beauty and the Beast, what is Sharon doing for young people in the area to really jumpstart, you know, that fire in the belly?
Well, we also have, Robert and I brought back, not that it wasn't there, but we brought back children's theater last year to the actual playhouse itself. It had been done at various locations called the Sharon Playhouse Children's Theater, but we thought, well, this really isn't because it's not here. So we brought it back to the actual performance space on the main stage, on whatever set happens to be there is what the show was. So last year, 101 Dalmatians was on the set of All Shook Up. It was very interesting, but they made it work. It was really sort of brilliant. This year, since we're doing Beauty and the Beast, we thought, hey, why not? So we're doing Beauty Junior. At the same time, we're doing Beauty and the Beast, so we can have the children, and we're both camps are, oh, don't call them camps, I get in trouble, are sold out. It went so well last year, and then, so we're doing Beauty and Beauty Junior at the same time, and then we're doing Aladdin Kids.
Wait, I'm confused, just a minute.
Okay.
You're doing Beauty and the Beast,
the full
production.
And since the...
On the main stage, right.
And the junior productions, whenever they are on the main stage as well, 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and a Sunday, they'll be on the same set.
Okay.
So that's sort of exciting for the kids. They'll have some of the same props and the same set, and that's sort of exciting. We'll have Big Bell Meet Little Bell. We'll have Mrs. Potts. This all sorts of tie-in stuff. So that one seemed like a no-brainer.
That's sweet.
And then when we do Joseph, we will be doing Aladdin Junior, or Aladdin Kids, I do believe. And that's fun. So the director of that, Michael Baldwin, who is also on our board, and Sarah Coco, who is his associate, will be staging that on the set of Joseph.
That's great.
However that works. But that's both of these children's theater events are all booked. It went so well. One other thing that we're going to be doing in the off season, and I'll let Sarah talk a little about it, is we're going to be going back to offering classes. The Playhouse used to do that, and then for many years did not, in the off-season, to locals and residents, and I'm going to let Sarah expand.
So I'm also on the education committee of the board of directors, and after I was an actress for a while, I then went into teaching. So I am passionate about teaching young people about theater and sharing my passion of theater with them. So we have a lot of planned for classes to be offered, not for young people as well as adults, but we want to offer dance, we want to offer acting, singing, audition workshops, master classes, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do all the, when I say kids now, I'm not talking about the children's theater, but when I say kids, I'm talking about the summer interns, the university kids, the kids in college, high school kids. Where did they come from, and how many do you have who are working on props and...
As you just said, they come from the universities, the high schools. We have people from Hoosie. We have people coming up from Westcon. We have people from Arlington High School all the way over into LaGrangeville, where Sarah used to teach. They come from everywhere. And after last year, we've got more response to people wanting to come and come play with us, for lack of a better expression, to be interns in every department. Actors are clamoring to come for us. We bring people from New York. We bring union people, Broadway people, but we also bring non-union talent. We have an immense amount of talent up here in this region. So many locals are in Crazy for You, some locals in Beauty, a lot of locals in Joseph, because, and then in that vein, we're also bringing back Michael Berkeley's Divas, which is all local ladies, for two performances only in July. And we're very excited to welcome them back to the stage because there is so much talent up here, Dan, that if we didn't use it, we would be very foolish.
Mm-hmm. It's a competitive environment. I mean, you've got a lot of theater, not just in the, you know, in the northwest corner. We don't have to name names, but we all know that the options that people have within, let's say, an hour's drive time to see all kinds of theater. You don't have a lot of competition, though, in pure musical theater. And again, I'm going to use the term summer stock.
Sure.
So are you comfortable being there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're thrilled to be there. We think we now have a good formula. Basing it off of last year, all the years of tryouts, the years of Sharon Stage, way back to SCAF when this, you know, this theater's been here since 1955 in this version. So taking the best of all of that, also Robert and I have a history in other theaters throughout the country. What works, what doesn't work, that we were able to put that all together here is really very, you know, exciting.
Yeah, just to clarify, to spend time, you and Robert, who's the managing director and your partner, spent a lot of time at Algonquin.
Yes.
And that is probably, can we say, one of the more reliable destinations for summer stock theater in the country?
It is,
certainly
absolutely.
The East Coast, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's been around since the 30s, 20s, something
That's
like
right.
that. And Betty Davis started as an intern up there. It used to be in a storefront in Algonquin, Maine.
When you grew up in Michigan, you probably saw a lot more summer stock than we do now. When do you think it became, are there reasons why it became not as popular as it was in the 50s or the 60s? And do you think it's coming back?
I think it's coming back.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why, you know, it sort of faded out a little bit. I think theater in general struggled in the 1970s, and it started coming back in the 80s, and obviously now it's just all theater and musical theater in particular is just exploding with universities and colleges putting in fine arts programs and musical theater programs. So I worked in summer stock, you know, when I got out of college, and I just think that it's I'm glad that it's coming back because I just think it's a wonderful way for young people to get involved and for audiences to just enjoy going to the theater on a beautiful summer afternoon or a beautiful night. I just also want to add that the Sharon Playhouse is really festive. There's that wonderful patio. You can come early and have a drink out on the patio. We are doing patio cabarets after the show, so there's a really festive atmosphere mm-hmm. that goes along with that kind of summer stock vibe.
It's an event. It's not just seeing the show.
Right.
The bar is open before, the bar is open after. Fridays, we're probably going to be instigating a food truck Friday because so people can come and picnic. You could come and picnic if you wanted to anyway. Bring your own food. Have a wonderful time. You can come to the patio cabarets. They are absolutely free after the shows. You don't have to see the show. We don't mind. Just come on down, buy yourself a drink, enjoy the show. If you bring some music, you can sing yourself. I mean, we're open to everything. We just want to be a fun place during the summer for people to go in this area.
Good. Yeah. We've got some time left. Let's recap the season. Okay, Crazy for You. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it. Gershwin Music.
Right.
It opens June 21st and runs through July 7th.
Correct.
It also got the Tony Award back in 1992 for Best Musical.
Frank Rich in the New York Times said it was the second coming of the Broadway musical.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we know Crazy for You, and once again, the star of it is
Amanda Lee Laverne, and
who wowed them last year,
right?
In it's Anything Goes.
Is Reno Sweeney and Justin Baquito opposite her?
Okay. Then you're going to follow up with Beauty and the Beast.
Actually, right after that is the Michael Berkeley's Divas for two performances only. We're calling it Return of the Divas since Star Wars seems to be a thing. Then after that, we have Disney's Beauty and the Beast, first time ever here in Sharon.
Okay. Why chose then that we go, Beauty and the Beast is going to be July 19th through August 4th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on August 9th, you open with Joseph and the Amazing Colored Dream Co. Music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, lyrics by Tim Rice. Why Joseph?
It is a huge crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a big fan. I know Sarah's a big fan. Robert is a big fan. It was actually on our list for last year. Things didn't work out, you know, as things do. But we decided, yeah, we really want to do it. We have this new spin to make it even more enjoyable. It's going to be great. There's going to be a kids ensemble in it.
This new spin.
I'm not going to tell you. It's a big surprise. You got to come see the show. Again, we're not, unlike past when things have changed, not in a good way. I wasn't here, so I can't say anything on that. We are not changing a word. We are not changing a lyric. We are not changing the order of anything. We're just putting, setting it in a different, interesting place.
A different place.
It's still
okay. So we maybe might be having a contemporary setting version of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor.
I wouldn't, Dan. I wouldn't go that far either.
Okay.
But it's going to be fun. When we have mentioned this concept, our director is terrific. His name is Russell Garrett. He's worked a lot all over this coast. It was really sort of fun and quirky. And that's the wonderful thing about Joseph. It is written in so many different styles. Every song is, there's a country song, there's a calypso song, there's, you know.
And we should remind people, in case they don't know the music of of Rice and Weber, what else they wrote.
Oh, they wrote Evita. And obviously, Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote Phantom of the Opera.
And Cats.
Yeah. And
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, so many.
All right, well,
so
now I'm intrigued.
Songs.
Because Joseph, be perfectly honest, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat is not, you know, up at the top of the list of the kind of musical that I would go to, but I'm interested.
But if there was a spin, you might. And I know Sarah's performed in the show. I have also performed in the show. I've done three different versions, and I can tell you, the three versions I've done of the show, not one of them was like the other. Every director
okay,
seems to have
briefly,
their own version.
Okay, and briefly, we've got the fourth show that opens August 30th and then runs through the middle of September. Nonsense. Why nonsense?
Why nonsense? Because it is expletive hilarious. It is wonderful. It is, and anybody who's ever been to Catholic school, I haven't because I'm Jewish, but I still enjoy the show and it's very funny.
Okay.
But Catholic school people, man, oh, they really love it.
Well, Daniel Francis Dwyer from New Bedford, Massachusetts can tell you a little bit about going to Catholic grammar school, so I will definitely be there for nonsense. That's going to be it for this program of Off Script. I've been talking to Sarah Combs, who's going to be directing the first program, the first show on the Sharon Playhouse schedule called Crazy for You, and she's been joined by Alan Wager, who's the artistic director who's putting it all together. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
For
good
in.
To see you.
Until you listen in the next time, as a dear friend of mine used to say, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.